Take a break from your busy schedule and join Harold Sala for Guidelines, a 5-minute commentary on living.
In their rather controversial book, The Seduction of Christianity, authors Dave Hunt and T.A. McMahon contended that Christianity is facing its greatest challenge, the challenge of acceptability, of striving to please the masses at the cost of integrity. They say that never in all history have more people come to name the name of Jesus Christ, yet never have so few really understood what it means. "Of course I'm a Christian. I'm neither a Jew or a Muslim," exclaimed one fellow in response to my question about his faith. For nearly half a century, most people considered communism to be an atheistic, godless philosophy, and this, they thought, was the greatest enemy of the faith. But then after only 73 years, communism in the former USSR is no longer a viable threat. True, Islam aggressively penetrates countries once considered Christians. They build mosques and schools and take converts by the scores. Yet Islam is not Christianity's greatest threat. New Age philosophies have enticed the discontent with their emphasis on improvement and success. While this appeals to some, New Age teaching is really old heresy dressed in new garments. Simply put, Christianity's greatest challenge is itself, with a threat coming from within, not without. In simple terms, we Christians are our greatest enemies. Now, when an enemy is outside the gates, the lines of battle are clearly drawn. In the vernacular, it's us or them. But when the enemy is within, it's difficult to tell who has infiltrated the camp and who has really counted the cost and is willing to pay the price of denial and commitment which Jesus demands of his followers. Chuck Colson, whose journey in faith has covered some very painful terrain for him personally, wrote, "The enemy is in our midst. He has so infiltrated our camp that many simply no longer can tell an enemy from a friend, truth from heresy." It would be quite easy at this point for me to talk about some of the divisive issues which are widely discussed today. The ordination of women in the church, the acceptability of homosexuals in the community of God, the number of broken homes, along with the acceptance of less demanding standards for leadership. But even so, these are not the real issues. These are but symptoms of a deeper problem. Writing to believers who were yet contemporaries of the death and resurrection of Christ, James, the leader of the early church, wrote, "You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred towards God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God." For lack of a better word, our greatest enemy is worldliness. But even in using that term, there's danger of being misunderstood. For too many of us, the term worldliness conveys a mentality of doing certain things and abstaining from doing other things. In recent years, that term has conveyed a mindset which obscures the lines of demarcation between the people of God and the people of the world, the faith of the New Testament, and the philosophies of our age. The old and quite clearly defined principles of right and wrong versus an anything goes as long as you're sincere mindset of our generation. It was Dwight L. Moody who pointed out that the place of the ship is in the sea, not in dry dock, but reminds Moody when the sea gets into the ship, you're in real trouble. Sometimes it's necessary to think through what I've said. And hopefully, you've got the whole thing 5 minutes in length. You see, the real enemies, as I see them, are not necessarily out there. They're within. Without backbone, without muscle and sinews, you can't stand and be counted. You've just heard Guidelines. I'm Harold Sala. You can send me an email at guidelines@guidelines.org.